From high atop Feibusch Media World Headquarters in Rochester, New York, it is the Top of the Tower podcast. I'm your host, Scott Feibusch. It's going to be a relatively brief podcast right now because I am getting ready to hit the road and hopefully see some of you in Orlando, Florida, or perhaps on the way to Orlando, Florida, for this year's radio show, which gets started on Tuesday in Orlando and runs through Thursday. If you're going to be down there, be sure to get together with me. We'll be talking to some of the folks down there and have a lot of material coming up on the podcast. We have a special edition for you this next Wednesday from Orlando. The podcast is brought to you by Shively Labs. Shively Labs is a division of Howell Laboratories. Shively Labs is a proud employee-owned company with over 50 years of expert antenna and filter design and manufacturing. We begin this week pretty much where we did last week with at least the aftermath of Hurricane Florence as it made its way across the Carolinas. The winds perhaps were not quite as intense as predicted, but boy, the storm surge certainly was and continues to be wreaking havoc on everybody down that way. One of the things that we should mention here is that the FCC has been trying very hard to keep track, not just in this storm, but in previous storms as well, of exactly who really is or is not on the air with their Disaster Information Reporting System, DIRS. They're putting out a daily report that at least purports to list who's on the air and who's not on the air across the areas affected by the storm. And the numbers have been pretty much about where we expected them to be on any given day. They've been saying there have been in the neighborhood of 20 or 30 radio stations in the storm-affected area that were off the air. Got to point out, however, that there are some flaws in the way DIRS works because it depends on stations to voluntarily report what's going on. And what that means, first of all, is that you have a number of stations that are most likely off the air that we're simply not hearing from because they're not reporting it. What do we make of that? I don't know. I'm not the one keeping track of this stuff at the FCC, but I think when you look at these numbers, you have to assume that a lot of the smallest of the stations down there, the ones with the least amount of staff, are the ones that may not even really know this system exists or that they ought to be reaching out to the FCC. I don't think there's any penalty really that goes with not making a report on this. So assume that there are a fairly decent number of stations that simply don't know that they ought to be reporting that they're off the air and therefore are not telling the FCC. So factor that in as we look at it. We are learning some lessons about disaster recovery plans. We saw, for instance, in New Bern, North Carolina, one of the areas that started to take the storm surge the worst at first, that the ABC affiliate there, WCTI, Channel 12, their studios have backed up to one of the rivers there for over 50 years. This is the first time in their history they ever had water in the building. It knocked them off the air. They had to go off the air. I guess their over-the-air transmitter, which is at a different location, at least for a while, was picking up programming from a sister station of theirs to the south. We know that they were at least putting some programming or some news information anyway on social media for people who stayed back in the area. And we know that despite the mandatory evacuations, there were a lot of people who, for whatever reason, couldn't or wouldn't get out of the way and were still in that local area along the Carolina coast and needed to have this information. But again, there was no studio backup plan to get that programming on the air if they lost the studio. One of the major clusters in town was right next door. They lost their studio as well, a lot of water there. Another one of the clusters in town had water in their studio, had difficulty, as it turns out, getting even a TV audio feed on the air from one of the other TV stations that stayed on to try to bring that information to their audience. And even they had some trouble with that because apparently they were depending on cable TV to supply them with that audio. Well, what goes out in a storm fairly early on, oftentimes it's the cable TV line. So, you know, not to criticize any of the stations there. These are all small markets: New Bern, Wilmington, Jacksonville. None of these are very big markets. None of these are very rich markets. None of these are especially deep-pocketed national owners. And so it's not surprising that there weren't perhaps the level of intense resources available for advanced disaster planning the way that there are in some bigger companies and in some bigger markets. But nonetheless, it's a reminder that these are really important things in a time of storm, in a time of disaster, in a time of hurricane, and flooding to be in a position to be able to get that word out no matter what's happening locally. We're going to be exploring this a lot more also with our friend Howard Price. He's giving a presentation at the radio show. We're going to catch up with him and see what some of the lessons are that he's picked up on with disaster recovery from this storm and some of the new things that he's telling his clients. So that's something that we're going to be paying a lot of attention to on our way down to Orlando and in Orlando. Another thing to think about, too, is that, of course, this isn't an image that you can build up in a market overnight. If you don't already have a reputation as being the place to turn in a given market when disaster strikes, that doesn't develop overnight either. And so there is a lot of value, I think, in being there even when there's not a storm, in providing local news coverage, and especially in doing the sort of self-promotion that local radio is not always great at doing anymore, in letting people know ahead of time that when the storm hits, your station will be the place to turn to, that it will be prepared, that it will have the resources. That, in turn, helps you, I think, when you're dealing with local emergency management, in order to make sure that your staff has the permits that they need, the passes that they need to be able to get where they're going to cover the storm, to make sure that you have the resources on hand for protecting the families of your staff at a time of emergency, to make sure that your staff isn't sitting there wondering, well, wait a minute, my wife and my kids and my girlfriend, my parents, they're at the house and the roof could be blowing off. What's going to happen to them? How can I do my job in the meantime? Lots of factors to think about. So we will be talking about this quite a bit more in the weeks and months to come here on Top of the Tower. Some of the other news that's been happening, meanwhile, back a little closer to home base, a major baseball radio shift in New York City.
This is New York's News Radio, WCBS News Radio 880, a radio.com station.
Cloudy skies above, 72 degrees. We're heading for a muggy 80 on this Monday morning, WCBS News Time 903. And we have some big news to share with you this morning.
That's right. The first deal of the 2019 Major League Baseball season has been struck. It involves us here at WCBS. Our director of news and programming, Tim Scheld, is live here in the newsroom with details. Tim?
Doesn't that bring you back, Alex and Paul? Well, you know, this is something that we have been working on for a good part of our summer and are pleased and proud to make the official announcement this morning. We're excited to announce that our parent company, Entercom, has entered into a multi-year agreement that will make this radio station, WCBS 880, the new official radio home of the New York Mets. It's a deal that is being announced this morning in a press release that will be sent out by the Mets and Entercom at this hour. We'll begin broadcasting the games in the 2019 season. This deal goes through the 2025 season. Big news for the radio station and for New Yorkers. You know, now both New York baseball teams are part of the Entercom family because the Yankees are on the air just downstairs in the studio right below us at WFAN. The New York Mets Executive Vice President Lou DiPaoli says in a press release going out this morning that we're excited to join the Entercom family. He says this new partnership allows the team to continue to serve the passionate fan base with outstanding radio broadcasts while also reaching a wide variety via the cross promotions of all of the Entercom stations on these two floors. Yeah. It's a big family. On a station level, we're very excited. You know, we continue to be a leader in news coverage, and thanks to our digital platforms, the news never stops. We're 24/7 on our stream. Starting next year, news 24/7, and the Mets on the air during the baseball season. This is a big deal for this radio station, and we welcome the Mets to the Entercom family and to the WCBS 880 family. We're happy.
Don't you think, though, the Mets are such an interesting story, maybe the most interesting story in all of New York sports, and it's a nice fit here because that's what we do here. We tell great stories.
And, you know, the timing couldn't be better because it's the 50th anniversary next season of the 69 Mets, and I was 10 years old at the time, and that's when I became a fan of the baseball team, so it'll be a lot of fun to relive those moments for a really passionate fan base.
I was only two.
Yeah, like you said, Tim, great news for us here at WCBS, great news for New York, and we appreciate you coming in here to share it for us. I'm just disappointed I won't be around for it. Today's my last day on the air here at WCBS.
Can't wait to play the Phillies, and then we'll come see you.
There's all kinds of announcements going on here this morning. And to quote the great Bob Murphy, they're a fun team to watch.
There you go. 906 at WCBS.
The world.
So that was the crew at WCBS 880 in New York making the big announcement that effective next year, surprise, surprise, except we've really kind of known it was coming for a while, that intercom station is going to be the home of the New York Mets. Brings the Mets back into that radio cluster that used to be CBS radio. They, of course, were there for many years on WFAN. Just down the hall from WCBS, actually right downstairs from WCBS. And then, of course, the Mets moved to WOR when the Yankees moved to WFAN. And now, all of a sudden, it all comes under one roof again. One of the interesting things is that Entercom, like just about anybody who does one of these cluster deals now with a sports team, is getting a commitment from Entercom that they're not only going to be heard on WFAN, or on WCBS, rather, with play-by-play, they will also have a presence across most of the other stations in the Entercom cluster. So whether that means that you hear some Mets reports on sister station WINS, whether it means that some of the FM music stations down the hall in the cluster are doing occasional Mets-related content, that's all going to be part of the package for them, as it typically is. We don't know yet what's going to happen to the radio team there. We know that they have moved before. Howie and Josh have made the move before from WFAN over to iHeart's WOR. Will they come back? It seems fairly likely. What becomes of Ed Coleman, who has a long history with the New York Mets on radio? That's all going to be something that we're going to be learning in the months to come. And, of course, the Mets radio network. And this is an interesting topic. It's been coming up in a couple of online discussions for the last few days. The Mets, of course, have never had that much of a radio network outside the New York market. And part of that may have something to do with their perennial status as being sort of, forgive me, Lance, the number two team in New York after the Yankees. Certainly, they don't have, you know, the century of following that the Yankees have had outside of the New York market. Some of it, of course, has to do simply with proximity, because you don't have to go much more than an hour down the road from Queens before you start getting into Phillies territory. You don't have to go much more than an hour up the road into Connecticut before you start getting into Red Sox territory. And as you start going west, you're pretty quickly into Pirates territory. And so there isn't a huge amount of natural territory that would be exclusively the Mets to play with anyway. Then, notwithstanding, there has usually been some sort of outlying Mets radio network, almost always in Albany, usually going west from Albany, at least into Syracuse and over here in Rochester, usually up the Hudson Valley, depending on the strength of whoever's been carrying them in New York City, and occasionally out into Long Island and Connecticut as well. My friend Ray Stillwell actually did a scholarly paper some years back exploring the history of the Mets radio network. And he presented that. They hold a Mets research conference, I think, every year, every other year. Where else? At Hofstra, on Long Island, of course. And he presented the paper there, and I was happy to try to help him with a little bit of information for it. But he concluded as well, there has never been an enormous Mets radio network. One of the interesting pieces right now is that the network that has existed in the WOR era has depended at least somewhat on other iHeart stations, especially up into the Hudson Valley and up into Albany. And you kind of have to wonder, will that iHeart relationship with the Mets continue into 2019 if the flagship station is no longer iHeart? I think it probably might. I think these clusters kind of function semi-independently, and I think it's ultimately really a deal more with the team than with whoever happens to own the flagship broadcaster of the team. So it'll be interesting to see what becomes of that. Also, the Spanish language radio rights, which iHeart had subcontracted out to ESPN Deportes Radio 1050. Will those end up still getting contracted out there by Entercom? We will see. It'll be interesting to see where that all goes to. Maybe if we're lucky, we can even get Josh Lewin on the podcast at some point. Did I mention he and I went to high school together years ago up here in Rochester? Local boy made good. We're proud of him. I do hope he stays with the Mets because it's fun to listen to him over there. So that's one sports story we're keeping an eye on. Another one a little bit more distantly that's been stirring up quite a bit of discussion has been the Los Angeles Kings. They have been heard for the last few seasons on KABC, the sort of flailing Cumulus talker out there. They just did a new deal with iHeart, and that deal with iHeart takes them mostly off of terrestrial radio. iHeart is going to create a dedicated LA Kings audio channel that will be available both within the LA market and outside the LA market online on the iHeartRadio platform. Some games apparently will still get put on terrestrial radio on sort of the third-rated iHeart AM out there, KEIB 1150. Part of the reason why this is an issue, of course, is that the other iHeart AMs there, KLAC, is filled up with a whole bunch of other sports play-by-play commitment that would end up preempting the Kings anyway, even if they put it there. And they don't put a lot of sports on KFI 640. That's sort of their big gun talker. A lot of people online are saying right now that this is a bad move, that this is taking a traditionally broadcast sport off of broadcast and putting it online. I'm not sure I agree with that, and I'm certainly open to your arguments on this, too. I'd love to hear them. But I think that for a lot of sports, this is going to be the future. I mean, let's be honest about this. Hockey, especially in Los Angeles, is not a mass appeal sport, especially on radio. I think that there's certainly an audience for it, but are they really tuning in a not great AM signal to catch the games, or are they already somewhat accustomed to being online anyway if they're really passionate about hockey, whether they're watching some of the games online? And the NHL is pretty good, I think, about making video streaming available. They've certainly been pretty good also about making audio streaming available for all of their teams, even the ones with broadcast packages. And there are probably a fair number of LA Kings fans who are outside LA broadcast coverage anyway. I don't think this hurts them necessarily. I think, if anything, they're going to have a more dedicated audio media partner here. And I don't think this is going to be the last team to kind of make this move away from terrestrial radio broadcasting for play-by-play and look to do something more like this on an internet presence. I'm a little bit surprised, actually, that we're not seeing this on one of the HD sub-channels. Only because we have seen iHeart and Pittsburgh and Entercom and Philadelphia and a few other broadcasters do these deals where they're putting a lot of this stuff on a dedicated HD sub-channel. So in Philadelphia, for instance, you tune to, I think it's WOGL HD4, and it's the All Phillies channel. Now, granted, that's tied in with the Phillies terrestrial radio broadcasts that Entercom also has on WIP there, but still, it's something that is dedicated to the team in sort of the same way that this iHeart sub-channel is going to be for the Kings. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, and we'll be watching closely to see if there is, in fact, pressure from the terrestrial audience to say, hey, wait a minute, this is missing from broadcast, and we miss it, we want it back. It's going to be interesting to see if the team ends up putting any pressure at some point to move things back to terrestrial. I don't think in this case that they will. I think that this is actually, again, for a relatively niche sport, going to be a pretty good deal. And, of course, because it is the, quote, infinite dial, unquote, Jacobs Media, it gives plenty of room for a lot of other relatively niche play-by-play sports, whether it's WNBA basketball, whether it's MLS soccer, whether it's NLL lacrosse, perhaps to get some of these content deals also, whether it's with iHeart or some of the other big platforms. So, again, we'll see how this all plays out. This is something that that we are going to be looking at relatively closely. A couple other little bits of oddity that we're noting here and there that we want to mention to you before it makes it into Northeast Radio Watch next Monday. There's a call letter change in Philadelphia on TV. If you sort of marveled at all the weirdness a few years ago when Press Communications and Bob McAllen took two little TV stations from out in rural Nevada and Wyoming and moved them into the New York City and Philadelphia markets, and then you remember that at least one of them actually kept its K-call sign when it moved west. What had been KJWY, Channel 2 in Jackson, Wyoming, moved to, quote, Wilmington, Delaware, unquote, actually Philadelphia. It became KJWP, Channel 2. With MeTV, and maintained that K-call. Not anymore. As of just a few days ago, it is now WDPN-TV, which I think stands for Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, the tri-state area that it serves. It's still doing MeTV. It's not owned by Press anymore. They sold it to WFMZ up in Allentown, which is now using it to carry a whole bunch of sub-channels. But in any case, that's one Eastern K-TV call that didn't make a lot of sense when it was there, and now it's gone. Not using those calls anymore. So that one's gone. We'll have to get back to Philadelphia again to keep an eye on that, and also hopefully to go see Channel 10 in Philadelphia, WCAU, the NBC station which will be moving very, very soon into Comcast's brand new Center City, Philadelphia headquarters. We also had the announcement just this past week of another very poorly kept secret in Philadelphia media, which is something that everybody pretty much already knew, and we'd mentioned in the column, and Tom Taylor had mentioned as well, that Entercom will be moving all of its radio stations from the three different locations that they now occupy, actually four at the moment, in Philadelphia proper and out in the suburbs, and those will all be consolidating at 2400 Market Street in what will be the new Entercom corporate headquarters. So lots of reasons for us to get back to Philadelphia. You will be seeing some Philadelphia stuff soon, as well as Chicago and a whole bunch in between, as we start getting caught up in our new fall season of Tower Site of the Week over at FiBush.com. We are there every Friday. This Friday, you can check out some of the smaller stations that we saw as we were driving back and forth across Ohio this summer. And then Reading, Pennsylvania next week, and then I think it's Chicago stuff after that. Lots of good material coming to Tower Site of the Week. The Tower Site calendar is literally, as I'm recording this, on its way back from the printer. We will have a few available for purchase at the radio show if you see us there, and they will be shipping very soon from the store at FiBush.com, which means that pre-order discount, the pre-print discount, will be going away very soon. So get those orders in right now at FiBush.com. It's your last chance to take advantage of that pre-publication discount for the 2019 Tower Site calendar. I should mention, too, that I've been working really hard to kind of up the picture quality this year. Our printer has some new equipment that I think is going to make it look even more phenomenal than ever, so I'm really happy with the way that it's turning out this year. Hopefully you will be, too. So that's the 2019 Tower Site calendar. Of course, Northeast Radio Watch comes to you every single Monday morning at FiBush.com, and I hope that you'll subscribe to that. And we've got some new content coming with our partner Radio Insight, too, a whole new technology section launching there. We'll be talking with Lance Venta about that as we are on the road back and forth to Orlando. So again, we will see you from Orlando next week here on the Top of the Tower podcast. We are brought to you by Shively Labs. Shively Labs is a division of Howell Laboratories, a proud employee-owned company with over 50 years of expert antenna and filter design and manufacturing. If you see them at the radio show, stop by and tell them that you heard them on the Top of the Tower podcast. And catch me if you are interested in having your product or service heard here as well. That's the Top of the Tower podcast. Thanks for being with us this week. We will be back from Florida next week. See you then.